归人。I have taken the advice of Paul, who in this book of Romans later says, overcome evil with good. And we have encountered with Paul what needs to be eliminated, at least from Christian experience, boasting in self, and particularly having the arrogant delusion that our righteous works will get us to heaven. Both the Muslim world and the Jewish world have the delusion that, and it comes straight out of mythology, Janus at the gate, that somehow or other we earn heaven by good deeds, good works, and that we will not know for sure until we're over there, and if the good outweighs the bad, we make it in. Well, I'd rather live next door to an ethical man. I'd rather live next door to someone that tried to base their life on the Ten Commandments. But it doesn't have a single thing to do with righteousness. God loves righteousness, and we ain't got it. But for our faith, He will give us His righteousness. And I've said it over and over these almost 30 years. Righteousness is fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. The spiritual person is the Spirit's person. Spirituality, the expressions of the Spirit. With Christ coming, the veil was rent, not just to let us approach God, but to let His Spirit out without compromise, to move into this house of clay, governed by faith, and become in us what we cannot be in ourselves, and give us the hope of glory, which is the outraying of His nature through us. Paul's been saying that through three chapters, and his primary target, the Pharisees out of which he came, who pride themselves like the one who prayed, I thank my God I'm not like this man, as he prayed next to the publican who prayed the simple prayer, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we've come to the point after the 21st through the 26th verse, which sums up the whole Christian doctrine, creed, experience in life. He did it all. All we have sinned, still are, coming short of the glory of God, but He did it all. He paid the price, He ransomed us, He bought us from the clutches of Satan, world, and the flesh. He is everything. He's our propitiation. He is at the propitiatory. He's our elasterion through which God looks at us and sees Christ and is the basis by which the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. Where then? Paul says, in that frame of reference, since he's done it all, where to the verse in the Greek of 3:27, where therefore the calchesis, the boasting, execlisti, it's excluded, without finishing the verse. I stop to say, well, it sounds like, at first glance, just like in the English. Where then? 27th verse, where is boasting then? It is excluded. Well, yeah, except in 1 Corinthians 1:30 we're told, let him that boasteth, let him boast in the Lord. And in Romans 5, different words are used, but it's the same derivative of talki. Three things we are to boast in. 1 Corinthians 1:30 is quoting Jeremiah 9, where we're admonished to boast in the right things. And Paul, as I said earlier, said overcome bad with or evil with good. So I've used this as a shoehorn to say, okay, lest you think all boasting is wrong, let's displace the bad talka, the bad boasting, and recognize that not all boasting is bad. It's what you're boasting about and whom you're boasting about and to whom the boast is directed, if it has that accompanying meaning of praise. I don't want to stop here and suggest that we be proud of never boasting about anything. God wants us to boast of Him and to boast to Him, unless the failure to make this particular sentence, unless the text out of context become error. I'm going to depart on an excursion of good boasting, good calca. Now, we've gone sideways every Sunday in other languages. The Spanish is the simplest. Don't just without reading at all. El motivo de tu gloria. Your, where is your boasting? The context is the boasting the Pharisees did. That is excluded. The Arabic from where? The boasting of you, kicked out of the park, a soccer term, on Sadati. We've gone to the Bohairic topic. And where he, now, Pishushu, the boasting, it is, shut up, Amash, from. It is shut up, it is shut up to the mouth, all the way to the mouth. If we take it in a colloquial expression, its mouth is shut up. Boasting is left without a mouth. You were here, but stay with me as others are brought up to date. The Hebrew translation of this, and now, Aya, where? Tehillah, from Halal. And I'll write these words again on the board, as we have with faith. The root word, as most Semitic languages, starts, with few exceptions, with a verb. Halal, from which we get hallelujah, and extemporaneous, outflowing, a bursting forth, in a pure sense of the word, an ejaculation that is suddenly overpowers you and comes forth like a praise that whatever your focus is on, it brings it forth, like those in the ball game who see this unbelievable shot, and they come out of their seat yelling and screaming and, hey! Well, hallelujah puts the focus on who? Good, halal. Focus on Yahweh. Here, the word for praise or to boast. And it also means to shine forth. And some people think that their presence brings a shining like the sun coming up in the morning. It can also be used negatively as it is here. Where? And now where? The boasting. Shaduda. It is collared like a dog. She is. Every one of these, and I think I caught them all, the Syriac. Where, and I played with this word, Shubuhu, which if you Shubuhuru, if you take another word and just use the equivalent of the silent Hebrew Ayin, Shubuhuru, or Shubuhu, Ruhu, Ruhu, Shubuhu, Ru, to pronounce it right, Shubuhu, Ru, you can pronounce another word, Shubuhu, Ru, and it's done. And you can pun it, you know, in poem, as I said last Sunday. You're like, my wife's Italian, and we sometimes, Italian's her native language, and French I hate because I can't pronounce it, but I can read it very well. It's my second language on my doctorate. And the Spanish, now that's a beautiful language. Some genius figured out that every letter should have the same sound all the time. That leaves time for the Latinos to do other things. But, you know, I get mixed up when I'm talking to her, and I'll put an Italian word because they're similar in roots in the same sentence with a Spanish word. And people look at me weirdly. I'm talking to one of the waiters in Spanish, and all of a sudden I substitute an Italian word, and he looks at me like, you know, which dialect is that? Same with this shifting from all these shoe, like the Hebrew shin, shoe, a vowel like the Hebrew with a dot behind the vowel, shoe, ba, hu, ru. That's boasting. Shoe, boo, ooh, that has to have the vowel added to even have a sound, like the aleph and the ayin. Shoo, boo, ooh, roo, is dumb. So your shoo, boo, hoo, roo, hoo, in God's eyes is shoo, boo, hoo, roo, hoo. So the next time some strutting, self-righteous saint comes by you, looking askance at you because you're a lesser being, because you don't do this and do that, just say it out loud. Shoo boo oo hoo. And probably he's of the group that will think you're talking in tongues. Then you say, pray that you might interpret. You got it? Which is what Paul says. When you speak in a tongue and you don't understand it, pray that you might interpret. So the next self-righteous one that is looking down on you, and when you say, well, I go to the church where a Scott preaches, and they pull aside and say, shoo-hoo, ooh-hoo-hoo. And pray that she might interpret. And you know I would like to spell dumb with different letters. You know that, don't you? You know, dumb has a precise meaning. It's in the Bible. But the modern street term for it has double meanings. And it is one of the most eloquent expressions of what comes out of most people's like that's mouth. You on the page? Where is it, therefore, the boasting, which I think I've adequately punned, it is a no. We've left out the Ethiopic. In what interrogative particle is therefore anka? And they settle it with their opening yet. Yet makiki. Yet makiki. Or makiki, that's that Khomeini sound. Yet makiki. This is the participle, or the prefix rather, that tells you this is reflexive. In other words, where is it? In what is it, therefore, your boasting in self? So it dispenses with the kind of... What I want you to see is every one of these early translators understood he is not decrying boasting of any kind, of every kind. He is in the context of 21 to 26. What Christ has done removes all boasting in our righteousness, in our accomplishments, in our presenting of ourselves as worthy of righteousness before God because of our do this and don't do that legalistic performance of religion. His context narrows the exclusion. The translators knew that, and they used the language to make it even more clear. Armenians, very important in scriptural history and translation and background, because the very language of the Armenians, though I'm writing in the more classical but is very close to the modern, the very language of classical Armenian was created. The alphabet was created to enable a translation of the Bible. Armenia is the first Christian nation. Edessa, the first Christian city-state in Syria. Armenia, the first Christian nation, vying with Glastonbury for the first church above ground built outside Jerusalem. With that Christian history, they have preserved maybe more than any versions in existence today. They're ancient Armenian manuscripts. But what makes them more important is that they had access, and for the centuries prior to the development of the Armenian language to translate the scriptures, they had access to Syriac scriptures that go back further than any that we have, as wonderful as the collection is that's here that has and we'll have in the weeks ahead every single one of the ancient Syriac manuscripts. They had earlier manuscripts. How did the Armenian translate this? And now, where left? A modern translator might put, but the basis of this verb here is to stay or remain. Where, and that's what makes it so clear. Now, where remains. Where he remains, literally, and now where he remains, or it remains. The boasting. Where does this boasting have a place? I like that word for boasting. Barzanka. Barzanka. I like that. I like these words for boasting, and, you know, you can't hardly beat the Syriac, Shub, who, Ru, Shub, Uru, can't hardly beat that, but I'm telling you, the Bohairic Coptic adds some words to my vocabulary to describe them when they go by, if they don't get that first one, when the self-righteous when Sister Sal comes by, just sit there and mutter. I saw a guy sitting on the sidewalk this morning as we went out rather early, and he just talked to himself the whole time, sitting in front of a Staples coffee place. You need to just go to some of these self-righteous, religious, show-off conventions and just sit and mutter. When they go by, say, Shub, Huruhu, Huruhu. And then really pronounce it, Shubu Uru. You know what you're saying, and tell them to pray they might interpret. Well, then, I like this one too. Pishushu. Pishushu. If they don't get Shub Uru, try fishushu. And you put the two of them together, they might start dancing on the sidewalk. Well, how about Mufabza? Now try that. Chub. Uruhu. Fishushu. Mufabza. Weave that together at your next self-righteous convention. And then add Bardzanka. Bardzanka. Now that'd be a good line, wouldn't it? And I'll guarantee you in some places they'll get up and interpret, but it won't be what you said. I'll guarantee it. Am I putting down genuine works of the Holy Spirit? No, that's what I'm trying to lead you into understanding biblically. Cheap imitations, I don't like. Each of these languages say it's annulled. It's bragging on yourself. And that's annulled. And here it's kicked out of the park. And the Hebrew says it's collared like a dog. And this long word says it is, I'm sure that those who speak modern Armenian will probably say with an exclamation mark, he excluded. But the root word is accepted. I want to read to you what you might not know just out of this wonderful book that I've used so many times, Word Origins. Now, you ever hear the phrase, present party accepted? You ever hear that? That means that you've abused someone like I've abused those phonies in showing off their spirituality. Genuine saints of God who don't really want to be filmed while it's happening, worshiping God. Those genuine ones accepted. Accept comes out of, I find this very interesting, and I think you will. Am I boring you? Accept. If you accept something, you literally take it out of that which is a generic group. You take it out. The verb comes from acceptus, the past participle of Latin exiteri, a compound form from the prefix ex, which means out, and capere, take, which is the source of our English word capture. Its use as a preposition and a conjunction and adjectival use comes from the Latin past participle, acceptus, for accepted, as in modern English present company accepted. Exclude. What's the difference between exclude and accept? For exclude, you've got to go look under sluice. I like that. That's where Uru should go. Sluice. A sluice, isn't this fun?
Yes, sir.
A sluice is etymologically a device for excluding water. The word comes by Old French, excluse, from Gallo-Roman exclusa, a noun use of the feminine past participle of Latin excludere, shut out. Source of English exclude, a compound verb formed from the prefix ex, out, and claudere, shut. And claudere is the source of the English word. close. Now, put this in the Armenian context of their translating this Greek verse. Now, well left, or allowed to remain or stay. Now, he, where is he? Where is he now allowed to stay? It is excluded, as the English here they say, now where is he left to stay? The boasting with the definite article attached. The boasting. Vajzanka. It is accepted. It's taken out. It can't stay in the room anymore of Christian living. It's no longer allowed to be present or to remain. It is taken out. I don't mind exclude, which means it is shut out. But because it's already there in the context where Paul is teaching, the except fits better, and the early classical translators had it. It is accepted because it is taken out. And what takes it out? We go on through the verse, you know where we're going to come to. By what law? It's taken out. Ripped out. No longer allowed. As part of the Christian community. It has lost its housing. It is a squatter on God's territory, and it must be taken out. That's the context that the Armenian adds to this. Pots are, vetzav. It is taken out. Every one of these drive home the thought. There is a particular kind of boasting, like Paul has spent two chapters talking about, to those that thought that they were okay, favored sons of God, let me put it in the modern context, grew up in the church, have given up all these things, have never done that, and have served God, and they're on special relationship with Him. You're going to be taken out with that attitude and do what I quoted earlier. Since that proneness exists, displace it with the right kind of praise, kalki, and the words that we have begun to introduce. As I said, I want you to learn as there are multiple words for faith, multiple words for praise. Last Sunday, and the Sundays before, we took halal, which I've already written on the board, an ejaculation of praise that is just burst forth because of an awareness of who God is, and as you remember what He's done for us, particularly in these verses previous, 21 through 26. Hallelujah. We then went to the Psalms and introduced a familiar word, Baraka. Baraka. The C-H sound like Bach at the end. Baraka. Or Barak. Allah Barak. And last Sunday, and this means to adore, adore on bended knee. I'm sure sometime in your life you have confronted someone that brought forth the desire to express your love that could only be done on bended knee. The deepest concept is, like the King and I, humorously and best played by Yul Brynner, Why is your head higher than mine? This arrogant generation that will bow its spirit to no one, that keeps everyone and everything on trial, that reading from verses 21 to 26, if the realization ever comes, what he did at Calvary and what God laid on him was our sins, a deep and thorough realization of what he did to open the door of relationship again, surely can cause the heart to want to bow and bend in front of such a Savior. You can sing, "He is my everything," from the heart instead of just the head and the lips. And then we went to Psalm again last Sunday and introduced the word Yada. Yada. I think satirically said, I wonder if that sitcom Friends and the idiot acting girl knew what she was saying when she said yada, 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 yada. It's to adore and worship and express yourself with heartfelt praise, reverence, and worship that pulls forth extended hands. Not extended hands as a rote religious exercise that somehow makes everybody conform to the equivalent of pulling what the heathen did, beads on a string, but a spontaneous recognition. I must in some way express myself as reaching out in love. Halal, Baraka, Yada. Words that in the English we tend to summarize and use the same words repeatedly. The Hebrew is full of that active meaning as the faith words were. The talk to lean and hasa to run and amen is a state of mind. Now today, in this excursion in faith, I'm going to take you to two more psalms, 33 and 34. And as last Sunday, I was preaching on psalms that I covered in the excursion on faith, but the emphasis was faith rather than praise. I take you today to Psalm 42 and 43. Can you go there in the King James? Not 42 and 43, 33 and 34. You with me? How does that 33rd Psalm open? Now, this 33rd Psalm is what's called an orphanic psalm. An orphanic psalm is an orphan that we don't know his parent. I'm with those who think David wrote this one too, but it tended to drift through the Psalter in the centuries and was not given as other psalms are headed with the authors or the source. This is an orphan psalm, but it's companion to the 33rd psalm, which not only is credited to David, but they tell us at the header what the circumstances were when he wrote it. The opening of this 33rd psalm, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous." Now the word there is one you're familiar with, Sedeq, you keeper of covenant. Their covenant was different than our covenant. Our covenant's a covenant of faith. And we that are acting on that covenant of faith, which is what God wants from us and which he purchased with his blood, the right to so relate to us in spite of our sins, we qualify as the Sedeca of faith. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, what is that word in the original? And that's the word I want to introduce today. Ragon. Now we've got halal, we've got rock, we've got yada. Now add ragon. R, G, N. On that way. Ragon. Rejoice. Now, rejoice comes from repeating or going back to joy or joyous expression from the French, joie, which I, joie. You say it, baby. Joie. Say it louder.
Joie.
So they can hear.
Joie.
You can do that. Joie. Joie. That's the source. I always get suspicious of words that come from the French. I mean, I can't pronounce them, so that's a self-serving defense, which makes me the sinner that I am. Freely admit it. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. It's a decor of faith in today's name. For praise. Well, now that word, praise, is a derivative, the feminine, by the way, noun, of halal. So there's nothing new there. It's praise that is extemporaneously poured forth by the object that you're addressing. Rejoice, however. Get ready. You know, I said for years, I refuse to give over to those that corrupt the scripture and motivate people to give to get the true paradoxical fact of the second half of Luke 14, that if you forsake, which means you don't calculate anything in return, God will not be a debtor. He pours out more than you forsake. But it's a paradox. Like living but dying, being first but being last. You can't be last in order to be first, and you can't be truly forsaking to give to get. But neither will I give over to the corruptors the truth that when you give to God without calculation, He blesses in return more than you can even conceive. Likewise, I'm not willing, because of the excesses, mixed in with a lot of sincerity. I don't criticize all of it. My criticism of what you see on television and these revival movements is the exploiting of the sincere who come there with faith and with open heart by putting them on cameras. When Jesus said, pray in secret. And these are intimate expressions of relationship to God, not to be done, to be seen of men. It's got to be an outpouring of the heart, halal. It's got to be an adoring on bended knee, not to be seen as a prayer warrior by another Christian, but because it's pulled forth from you in your understanding of what Christ has done for us. Yada, extended hands because I can't seemingly say it well enough after extending my hands. You ever hug anybody? But it'd be less effective if you just stand and look at them. Eventually, if you really mean it, you've got to put the arms out. Likewise, I will not give this command of God through His servant in the Old Testament over to a category judged as idiots. You know what this says? To give a ringing cry. To cry aloud. You should watch me tonight on television. I'm on from 7 to 11. And I'll tell you the score of the basketball game. But before 7, you might want to tune in and watch the ringing cries for a game. Academy Award winning Jack Nicholson. Yeah! Ragon, K commanded with God and the Lord is to give a ringing cry. Cry aloud. Oh, I don't want to disturb God. I only pray in a whisper. I love you, Lord. With eyes closed, I love you. Praise be to Jesus. I love you. You got the extended hand part. Love you, Lord. That's what singing lustily is about. Not lustfully. Lustily. Although they have the same root as an overpowering urge. Cry aloud! You know, those old movie murals up there and these 5,000 lights up there and that 5,000 little things to radiate light up there, they might start coming raining down. If this congregation would cry aloud and praise to God. There's time and place for everything. When I start preaching, I don't want to be interrupted. But more importantly, in your private prayer, get a soundproof closet if you have to. God can hear through that. Don't disturb the neighbors. I'm trying to tell you, I'll guarantee you in your lifetime you have cried out with emotion to persons on this earth that you have a real relationship with. You need to have an awareness that God's alive and a person who responds when you cry out to Him. I want to read something from Tozer, if I can find it. No, I'll read it this afternoon on festival. I'm too busy trying to get this message across. You understand that what this psalm opens with is an order. It's in the imperative tense. Cry aloud. I rejoice. No. Yeah, how can you really burst forth with drawer? You need a microphone for drawer. But cry! A ringing cry! I want you to know! Well, that's fanaticism. It sure is. That's what you're going to see at the basketball game today. Fanaticism. Fan. Impetus. Yay! I can't believe this is my pastor. PhD Stanford. Saying I should do this. And it happens to use the preposition that in a way that emphasizes the object of the cry. Here, when He's in you, you're in Him. But this is not that context. It's in more direct sense. Cry aloud with Him as the object. You see, Decca? Or praise aloud, although it's a noun, Tehi, Tehila. Praise is calmly. Now, calmly. You have to go in Old English to become, and you find that word calmly comes from a root. Well, let me get it and read it to you.
This is the end of side one.